Okay, now. It struck me that with regard, you know, I said that we'd finished the sin offering last Tuesday when we met. But there's one other element of the sin offering.
But it's covered. It's covered.
Because with the highest apprehension of the sin offering, namely the bullock and the priest offering it for the whole world, the priest only sprinkles blood on the veil, which makes you have access to the Holy of Holies. And the thing that occurred only once in each year was the Yom Kippur, the scapegoat, and the goats were dealt with, and the high priest entered the Holy of Holies. Well, that's another indicator that we are in the last day, because that was the day, and we never leave that day. We never leave that access. But I thought we better take another look at that access, that entrance into the veil, and see what happened on the Day of Atonement. Okay? And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place, within the veil, before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place, with a young bullock for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh. And shall he be girded with a linen girdle, and with linen mitres shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. Of course, the linen, it's white linen. It's the best. It's Egyptian linen, and it had, I forgot the number, but it's an incredible number of strands per inch. It's like you can't make it anymore. They don't know how to do it. It's the best linen ever was. And the linen is the righteousness of Christ. That's what it signifies. You can't go into the Holy of Holies unless you have on the right garment. You can't be invited. You can be invited to the wedding, but if you get into the wedding and then the father looks at you and he sees that you have on the wrong wedding garment, you'll be bound and cast into outer darkness. And that's what almost happened to Harry last night. Now, the wedding garment, you know, because I asked Harry, I said, you know, I tried to mock him all night. Wah, 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 wah. Mock his gods, mock his ideas. I asked him, well, what, pretend I'm God, what would you say to me at the judgment day? And he went on through this whole line of stuff that most of you probably would do, because if you're confronted with God, you forget, you know, you forget intellectual doctrine. If God's standing in front of you and he says, tell me why, by what right are you here? Why should you enter the kingdom? Well, if you're, I mean, you're scared, you know, we're talking scared. And you're going to forget all the little cliched words, and you're going to forget my doctrine, unless it's your doctrine. And you'll start saying, well, I was faithful, and I tried to do my best, and I made some mistakes, but, you know, most of the time I did the very best I could, and I abided. I stayed around. And God will look at you and say, depart from me, I never knew you. The only basis upon which you can say at the judgment day for authority to enter is, my life is Jesus Christ. And that covers all, everything. And that is the righteousness of the saints. And unless you know that now, you won't know it then. So, because you are about to be the high priest that enters into this Holy of Holies, and you're going to get killed if you don't have on the right garment. You understand? Clearly? Mm-hmm. Never again can justify yourself. From this point forward, you're without excuse. All right. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering, one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, a little bit about these two goats. They had to weigh exactly the same. Could you lean back here? They had to weigh exactly the same. They had to look exactly the same. Every hair on their coat had to be the same color. They had to cost exactly the same. They had to be perfect twins. But they had to be genetically sound. Understand? This gets big time here in a minute. Because if you don't do repentance, if you don't turn from self, then tonight you better start building the temple. And you better start going and searching throughout the earth to try to find a genetically pure strain. You won't find them. So you better do whatever. You better become an expert in genetics and begin to learn how to breed, and then you better just hope and pray that one day twins come that look exactly alike. Because if this process that we're studying here tonight isn't completed, everything else you have ever learned is as nothing. If you don't turn from self tonight, completely, forever, then everything else you've ever learned is absolutely worthless. If you don't stop, if you continue to try to save your life, save you and yours, everything you've ever learned is worthless. Without exception. And you had better tonight start building the temple. You better sell what you have and go to Jerusalem and try to find out where the temple should be. And then you better personally start learning masonry. And you better personally start learning all of the arts of how in the hell do you build these incredible golden candlesticks without from one piece of gold. Those are the easy parts. Because in order for you to build a temple, you have to find the lost ark. And you also have to find the ashes of the red heifer. Otherwise, everything else you've done will be worthless. And then you better start memorizing the Talmud, and you better find about four books that are lost out of the modern Talmud that detail the specificity of what particulars were going on in this day. Because unless you do it absolutely perfect, you're lost forever. You understand that? Mm-hmm. Now, you don't have excuse ever again to try and sit here and muse over your own talents, or muse over your own ideas, or muse over your own interpretations of scripture. You turn from self, or you better get the fuck out of here and start building. You think I'm mean? You haven't seen nothing yet. There better never once again be a concern for yourself. Not once. Because if he came during the time in which you were concerned with self, then you would have on the wrong wedding garment. Now, what I'm trying to do is put the fear of God in you so that you stop that ridiculous crap that you've gone on all your life in the name of sincerity. We saw last week what happened to that bullshit. It was burned outside the camp. And it's subtle. You better, if you spend all your life in self now, then you better start learning that every single time there is a propensity to think about you or your future, you or yours, you better say, Father, forgive me, for I've just crucified the Son of God afresh. Because you've made the promise of God of none effect. You've made the grace of God vanity. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Everybody?
Yeah.
You understand? The promise is, if you seek Him, His kingdom, His righteousness, it would be impossible for you to have a need. That's His side of the coin. He's done everything possible. Yeah. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats. One lot for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and him, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat in which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord, to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. I love this part. See, because this is where Jesus faked out Satan totally and completely.
This is where it's backwards.
And this is where you're about to get hustled more than you ever thought hustling was possible.
Started.
How so?
I'll show you.
You talked about this before. It was. Remember we talked about this.
Okay. Now, the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house. And shall kill a bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself.
That's what we just studied about, the sin offering that you do, that the priest does. Yeah, okay.
And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord. Okay, that's where the blood just was poured out, right? And he shall take those altar of burning coals. And his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the first veil. And bring it right into here. See, he comes over here, and the incense is prepared beforehand, and he takes the coals off this altar, which has been covered in the blood. The burnt altar. Okay? And it's a massive ceremony. I mean, it's you got 24, there were 144,000 priests at the time of Christ to do this, all this stuff. Okay? I mean, it's big time. I told you before, but in Josephus says that at the Passover in which Christ was killed that time, that at that Passover, 250,000 lambs were slain. Now, so he's taking this, he's got the censer in one hand with the incense, and he's got the pot of coals in the other hand. Okay? You got that? It's going into here.
I have a question. Was this, I mean, there was only one temple where this was done, right? I mean, why were so many lambs slain?
Because there had to be one lamb slain for each family.
On Passover, not for this.
On Passover.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord. In. Right there.
The incense altar.
Oh.
Okay. Now, this is the point at which Aaron's sons were just killed, which started this chapter. Aaron's sons were killed, two of them, because they started this fire in here with strange fire. And they mean strange fire like, you know, St. Elmo's fire or something.
Light, no.
What it meant was they got the coals to start that fire from some place other than that which was covered in the blood. So they illegally had access. You understand?
Mm-hmm. It would have been the same. If they had taken those souls without the blood sprinkle on, that would have been strange fire.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
That's what they did.
They got
the coals without the blood on it. Same thing's going to happen to you. Unless you know right now that you are the temple of the living God, and this is a picture of you, and now unless you know that the right fire has lit the right incense altar that's covered in the blood, and that every thought that you think is the prayer of God, you're going to die because you're offering strange fire. Now, I don't care if no one, and I'll guarantee you, no one else in the world will tell you this. No one. But you better understand it. It's not negotiable. I mean, I'm not telling you something that I've made up. Yeah.
Okay, so the veil in verse 12.
It's the first veil. To the holy place. This is called the holy place. And in the holy place are the table of showbread, the candlestick, and the altar of incense. Okay? That's all that is. This is your soul. This is what makes you you. Right? Mm-hmm. This is the spirit. The seed of Christ. You got it?
Mm-hmm. Does that make the altar of burnt offerings?
It's the place you eat.
Yeah.
It's your
body.
No, it's more in your body, it's your stomach. There's no accident that the Hebrew word for eat is to consume with fire. Akal.
Which is about what happens.
Yeah.
It is.
So that's why Paul talks so clearly in 1 Corinthians 10 that nobody understands. That you eat, don't eat anymore that food offered to demons.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
Well,
food offered to demons.
It's food to sustain
your
life.
Yeah.
We have a food, a bread, a meat to eat, which they know not of.
Our meat is
to do the will of the Father.
And it all relates to this
of course.
Temple. That's what he's talking about.
Of course.
Because all these things represent all these things represent different parts of like Christ's body and us and everything. I'm sure we'll get into that when we study.
We've already studied that.
No, we haven't.
We've never studied 1 Corinthians 10?
No, not that. I'm talking about the...
John 4? Okay. Do you understand?
The microcosm thing.
And we have an altar to eat at by which they that are in the world have no right to eat. They can't get there from here.
It's the first time you ever put it together like that, strung those together. Okay, so I wasn't here when he did it. Last week.
And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat. Hallelujah. That is upon the testimony that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. Now, that's the first time that he's faced east.
So he's behind the mercy seat.
No, he's placing the blood, look, I'm sorry, he's not facing east. He's placing the blood on the east side of the mercy seat, which is that which faces east. He's facing west. You got it? You never face east. You never face north. North is always symbolic of Draco or the serpent. South is always the hidden mystery of the cross, because the southern cross is below our visible sight. West is always toward the mercy seat, and east is always toward self-seeking. You'll never understand the Bible unless you understand those basics.
Yeah. So everybody else, west was death.
Yeah.
And east was where
life was, because the sun was shining. Right.
To the Egyptians, west was right. Looking into the land of the dead.
I'm getting chill bumps when we talk about this stuff.
Just a social blame. Wow.
Chill blame?
It's breaking out in blame.
Tristana.
Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. Now again,
wait. In 14, he takes the blood of the bullock. The bullock is for a sin offering.
It's for him.
So he can do this other
and
thing.
Normally, he puts it on the veil, the incense, and the brazen. But on
the Day of Atonement,
he also puts it on the mercy seat.
Amen.
And what is putting it on the mercy seat signify?
Well, again, it's the blood always signifies access. It means without the blood, there's no access. You can't get there from here. If you get there from here, you die. See, you got to remember, all of this, it's just like having a perfect plan for a building.
Well, that's something, when you said that, I never thought about approaching God with mercy. I mean, that's...
You don't.
You can't approach him without
the blood.
Yeah.
Now we got the blood, he sprinkled it on the mercy seat. Guess what that means? That means that you can go sit in the mercy seat under the wings of the cherubim, under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty, and you never again have a problem in this fucking universe.
Hmm.
You understand?
It's just a different...
And all it is apprehension of it. It's already been done.
Yeah.
The access is free.
Amen.
The only reason I yell at you all these years is because you dumbheads didn't see it.
We're offending God by trying to pay for something.
Your offense, now you can understand what an offense means. If you cause one of these my little ones to stumble, if you offend, it means you've set a snare in which you are saying they can get there by some other way. That's what it means. People always accuse me of offending everybody. Well, those dumb fucks, they don't know what offense means. Watch me offend. You haven't seen offense yet. Because they're at what they think offense means. Now, this is the meat of the word, folks. This is the strong meat that sustains you above and beyond anything that you thought possible.
What's the type here in that whenever a sin offering, whenever the bullock is done as a sin offering, 364 days a year, blood is sprinkled on the veil, but Aaron can't go through it.
That's right.
One day, one time, he can go through it and then place it on the mercy seat.
That's right.
What?
So to show you that the day of the Lord has come.
Something about the, what you
one day.
Talking,
one day.
Wrapping up about one of the...
Christ entered once.
He entered once. One time. One day.
One day and during the year that they do this, and that prefigured.
Everything else up to this, you've been up to this point Even if, as we've studied all of this magical stuff and mystical stuff and wonderful, wondrous things out of the law, you've had an excuse to live in time, to give breath to time. Now, this is what it means to redeem the time. You redeem the time because the days are evil. Now, time has gone. Time is gone. It's finished.
No more time.
Can you feel that's it just a little bit?
It's like showing the like things that happen out here. People can stand around out here, and it's nice to see the outside of the tabernacle. And then daily, then things were done inside here.
It's nice to be there.
Yeah, and then you know they did stuff in here, but then you know once a year it's like whatever happens in here is 365 at least 365 times more important than all the other stuff. Merely to show you that it's that important. And then when Christ did it once out of all of the years of that ever was, that ever will be, then it's that, however much that is.
That's what's hitting me now is the thing when Paul talks about the blood of bulls and goats.
Because it was only a picture. These guys didn't believe. Nobody here ever believed that the blood of bulls, they saw it as a parable. If those that believed, just as you and I do, same message. The gospel was preached unto them as well as unto us. It was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. It's not mixed with faith today. We're in a famine far greater than anything back then. The famine of the Messiah's famine is so complete, so total, that you are the only ones that I know of in the entire world that are eating. Now, whether that sounds arrogant or not, so be it. Sounds wonderful. Now, once you know you're here, once you know your permanent residence is seated with God in the heavenlies, and the only place He is in the heavenlies is there, then you can begin to pull those people out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. If you try to pull them out of the fire out here, you're going to get pulled in with them. Because you will automatically become a man pleaser. Now I've done 5 billion things wrong since the day I've begun to talk to you. But one thing that I've been faithful at by His mercy is that I've never pleased men.
Boy said you weren't pleasing.
Do you understand a little bit about what we're about? Now we're finally completing in toto the sin offering.
Toto
too? That too. Got it? You got a little handle on it?
Yeah. I'm still blown away by 250,000 perfect lambs on one day.
Oh yeah, that's, you know what else? Fits. You know what else? It's like Aaron puts blood on the veil, the second veil, but doesn't go through it. Except on Yom Kippur. Then on Yom Kippur, he puts blood on the mercy seat, but he doesn't touch it. He certainly doesn't sit down on it.
That's right. That's why it says, we are seated with God in Christ in the heavenly.
Right hand of God.
We are seated in heavenly places. You don't...
Whoa. That's...
Roll it back.
We're talking about a place that couldn't even be touched.
That's
we're
right.
Talking about sitting now. You're getting lounging. Okay.
That's right.
Talking about lounging on the mercy seat.
That's the only place that you can be from now on.
Untying God's shoe.
Huh?
Untying God's shoe.
And you're sitting there.
Go over the comparison that Harry just made and what you just said.
Okay.
Heavenly Jewish law.
In the sin offering up to this point, the highest order. This is the most apprehension of the sin offering, and that we've studied the charts. Remember. The best that the priest could do when he put the blood of the bullock, he put it on the veil. He couldn't go in. He had to do this daily. He put the blood on the veil daily. All right? Blood always means access. So the type had to be only a type. Now, so therefore on the Day of Atonement he went in and he sprinkled the blood of both the bullock and the goat on the mercy seat. But he didn't sit down. Because if he sat down, he would have been the completion of it rather than a picture of it.
The way was prepared.
The way was prepared by all of these pictures so that it's the perfect parable of Christ.
Now that means by that act, by the act of Christ going in once into the Holy of Holies in the heavenlies, we are seated with him in the heavenlies. We are, that means our permanent place of residence from this point on is seated on the mercy seat. That which Aaron, that which the blood of bulls and goats, that which no one else can give you the right to do. This is only a picture of it so that you can apprehend the mercy of God and stop your stupid activities of the flesh.
Psalm 91.
Amen.
Where he who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High
shall abide forever under the shadow of the Almighty.
And you can see that he's the way. And you can see that he's the way.
Amen. The way, the truth, and life. You got it now? You got a little bit better understanding?
Amen. This is the wildest stuff I've ever heard.
This is pretty crazy. Why didn't you tell us this earlier?
There's something fundamental about this.
I've never heard it. We would have taken it to ourselves.
Could you say it once more?
I mean, again, I've always told you that perfection is at the cross. That your only job is repentance. That to God, repentance is the same as innocence. Our only role cannot be to debate with people. Our only role is to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. And in many cases, whether you like it or not, that's mocking.
Yeah.
All I did last night was mock Harry.
Yeah.
Until he saw his own depravity. You can't.
It's kind of what we were doing to your dad.
You have to mock himself till they see their own dunghill. That's the only time that repentance is possible. Otherwise, it's nothing. So our job is to mock the world, to be a sign and a wonder.
Yeah, and that's such an antithesis of what, you know, people see Christians or think of Christians.
That's playing the wrong game.
Or, you know, being tolerant or non-offensive and all that shit. I mean, the last thing people expect from a believer is for them to go, man, you're full of shit. You know? It's a big surprise.
Is that the last thing you expect from me?
Not now. I mean, when I met you, it was immediately, it was very plain that you weren't your average Christian. I met you in a bar.
First of all, quite a lot of guana there.
Rick, somehow the bitter dogs are seeming more and more appropriate.
Bitter dogs.
I want to depart here. We're going to have to continue this. From now on, you only have two conditions. Anywhere or everywhere you are. You're either on the mercy seat or you're unclean and outside the camp. There's only two options from now on. Whether it's in relationships with each other, whether it's here, whether it's in husbands and wives, you're either in the camp, on the mercy seat, or you're unclean. And if you're unclean, then the exhortation to the rest of you is, touch not the unclean thing.
Amen.
And I mean this with everything in me. There's no more bullshit after the flesh any longer. I don't care if it's husbands and wives. I don't care if it's friends. No more feeding of the flesh in any dimension. No more touching the unclean thing. You're not going to learn this. You're going to apprehend it. And he's going to apprehend you. But only when you realize your depravity. And when you're in a position of discussing, we're just discussing. No, you're not. You're sick. You're evil. You're a hunk of pus. And you're making the cross of Christ of none effect. You're either on the mercy seat in perfect fellowship, in joy, or you're outside the camp. There's no options. Once you've entered into here, then you no longer can return to the weak and beggarly elements of the world, and you can no longer return to the childish things of the camp. You understand me? So from now on, exhortation is, you're outside the camp. Period. Get away from me. Go read the Psalms of Ascent. Don't give breath to the other party's stupidity.
Amen.
And it's only in this way will you end up knowing the fear of God. That's why things that were permissible for you and for us before are no longer permissible. Yeah. Now, that definition, that narrowing, has become so narrow that there's only one point. It's the mercy seat. Everything else is the judgment seat. Everything else is the judgment seat. And I'm going to make it so crystalline to you that you're on the judgment seat. You understand?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's like when you get on that mercy seat, everything else drops away and that's all there is. Everything outside of that is judgment is raining down.
Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision to fulfill the lusts or desires of the flesh. That's what you're doing in these stupid little dealies. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the joy of the Lord shall be your strength. And great shall that strength be.
I feel like you said that for me. Yeah.
Now, see now, when you're seated in the mercy seat, you've given your life to the Father. Now you lay down your soul for the brethren. That's why you agree with your adversary quickly. You resist not evil. You understand?
Yeah,
we've talked about that, but I don't understand.
You're as harmless as doves. What does it mean? What did Jesus... Jesus said, the prince of the world cometh and hath nothing in me. Jesus said two things. He said, I give... He gave up his life to the Father, and he laid down his life to the brethren, for the brethren. Two different words for life. He gave up his pneuma to the Father, or Spirit, and he laid down his suchi, or soul, for the brethren. Now, that's what you're going to see when we finish this scapegoat. You're going to see that one of the scapegoat, the one scapegoat is the Spirit, and the other scapegoat is the soul. And that's the perfect picture of Christ. Hmm.
So
have we said that?
No, this is new.
No, it's not.
So the thing about the prince of this world hath nothing in me is because the only thing left is the body, and that's nothing.
Right.
It's a vessel.
It's, that means nothing.
Yeah, because that which is within the vessel is the spirit and the soul.
Yeah.
The reason you are powerless in this life is that you think your life, your souls and your bodies, an independent self. And the source of that independent self is only one. It's your high place identity and your pillars. It's a lie. It's been cast down. You have no longer an excuse to give it breath. And your false self are the thoughts, feelings, reason, emotion, and sincerity. Fucking sincerity. and your true self, you know. So, because that's spirit. You know, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. You know the lie of separation is the total lie that Satan's deceived the whole world with. Now, you resist not evil because what you resist, you give power to. You understand?
Is there a different word? I mean, are there two different words being used for resist? Because you know, we've been talking the last couple of days about resisting.
You mean resisting Satan?
Resist the devil.
Resist the devil? Yeah, the resist there means stand.
Means what?
Stand.
Stand.
That's what resist means, where it says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. It means stand.
Okay, and resist here means?
Resist not evil means.
Push
don't
resist
so push against it. Don't give it breath.
So what?
You believe all things. You hope all things. You bear all things. The reason Jesus was powerful is because he didn't resist. You got to understand that now.
I remember you talking about that. Oh, that made sense when you said, when he accuses you, you say, yeah, I'm not.
You're right.
So what?
Yeah, resistance, to respond. Is responding not to evil, because when you turn the other cheek, you're standing in the same place. You're just, you know, you're not giving any more thought to what has happened than you did before. You're just in the same spot.
Now, when you accept as something against you, you replace its authority. You sneak him, you fake him out in the same way that Jesus faked out Satan with a scapegoat.
Say that again.
When you accept that which is against you, you replace its authority.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
With an open way.
Yeah,
I mean, because you think, I mean, when you think that something's against you, and you're, you know, fighting against it and everything, it's, you know, the authority of Satan of having
immediately
his authority over you.
Well, again, you know, I've said it in a psychological way ever since I've been with you. I've said to you 1,000,000 times that what you're consciously against, you're unconsciously subject to.
Yeah.
That's God's God's faking you up.
I can amen that. And you're not at peace.
All right. Yeah, there's againstness.
So you're saying to Satan,
let me
see. Here's your scapegoat, you know, or take me, you know. But what he doesn't know is that you believe totally that everything is of God, and so when he eats you up, it explodes him or something.
Yeah, let me give you an example. It's a very real. No, you heap burning. No, listen. You heap burning coals upon the head of your enemy. Now, what happened last night? Harry was without hope. Now, what happened? I washed his feet, even knowing he was without hope. And it scared me to death when I saw that. And I had to go check and see whether Christ had washed Judas's feet. And when I found out that Christ washed Judas's feet, then I was safe. But even in the process of doing it, that thing tried to enter me. And what I said, come on, you have every right. Mm-hmm. You don't understand that. The moment I said, come on, you have every right to me, then Harry broke. I didn't say it out loud, I said it to myself, because I could feel it. If I would have resisted evil, I would have been bounced around like a puppy dog.
Wow.
I can resist it to another person. I can't ever save myself. Can you understand what I'm saying to you?
It's total. If you resist your accuser, that's what you're saying. The same thing. So if a person accuses you of lying, stealing, murdering, whatever it may be, it's yes. Because
he has every right to you.
Yeah.
If you agree that you should, the accuser will come in the guise of your mind. And he will say that you should or shouldn't do this, or should or shouldn't be this way or that way. If you resist that, you're resisting the law. And you're confusing. You agree that then that you should do this or you shouldn't do that. What you do then, you're agreeing to with Satan to fight in his domain.
You lose.
And you lose. That's why most of you are so fucking powerless. Because all you do is fight in the domain of Satan, and you lose. You're confusing soul and spirit. So you're always trying to, the moment you do that, you will always try to protect your soul.
Yeah.
Satan has every right to your soul. He has every right to your body.
I was just thinking, the test doesn't just get narrower and narrower, it gets deeper and deeper.
Oh, yeah.
Is that like...
If you agree that you should or shouldn't do this or that, the law, and you fight or give breath or argument in that domain, you are confusing soul and spirit. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of this stuff I couldn't have talked to you about before.
Well, I just want to make sure. Agreeing with the adversary means you're right. I should do this. You're right. I shouldn't do this.
Right.
And so what?
So what?
Okay. You can't change what's already been done.
Let me tell you the stuff that happened. This, we're talking major battle. We're talking major battlefield with Harry. Okay. The first thing that came to me was, and I'm down on the floor. First thing that came to me, well, if I quit smoking, then Harry would be saved. I agreed. Okay, so what? Then if I would have been a better preacher, or would have said the words more clearly, then Harry would be saved. All right, you're right. So what? If I had more discernment, the earlier times he was in the hot seat, then this wouldn't have happened. You're right, so what? But no, what you guys do, the moment you're confronted with something, some stimulus, you say, oh no. And you, and the reason I know it's because I see it.
It's so fucking simple.
What I don't understand is why you say you're right. I mean, is that
you must accept the evil as Satan's right to test the outer you. This is his rightful domain.
To test the what?
The soul and body. We give him the rights to our souls and our bodies. We are then are presented as lambs to the slaughter. The lamb lays down with the lion. Satan is the roaring lion.
There's something about when you're talking about the scapegoat. I mean, we want to identify. I mean, when you say escape, and scapegoat.
I don't say scapegoat.
No. When you say scapegoat, and I'm thinking escape out into the wilderness, get away, hide out, you know, get out from under it. And that's the part that's offered up to God is the slain one. There's a whole weird identification here. It's just like backwards. I mean, the
scapegoat gets away. You know, that's what I think is the good thing, is to get away.
You know? Well, what happens to the scapegoat? It goes to Azazel.
The scapegoat is Azazel.
Yeah, but it looks like he's going, hey, I'm going to the country. You know,
well, it says it's one goat is for Azazel, which is like the idea was.
No, it's not. You see, more than that, one goat is the Azazel.
I thought it was one goat is for Azazel.
Right, we'll see. I'll show you in a minute.
Yeah, well, the other one, the Azazel. It's real sure what happens to the other one.
Yeah. I
mean, but again, look.
Wait. Last night, when you said, what's your name? It came to me, and I quadruple guessed it, but that's the name.
Joe Azazel.
No, Harry
doesn't. It doesn't matter. Now, you are presented as lambs to the slaughter all the day long.
And the lamb doesn't ever resist.
No. Then the resurrected one, the real you, rises at your death. And possesses his possession.
Fake Satan.
Satan gets faked out the same way he did in a cross, over and over and over. Now the thing that we have, see, we have an advantage over him now, because it's been a long time since anybody faked him out like this.
A long time since anybody's known.
You have overcome the evil one by laying down your life. So simple. You no longer ever again attempt to establish your own rightness. Because you only know God's rightness. Now,
what's so about that is that even when we appear to be right, we're wrong anyway.
Well, that's why my role is to mock you. Tell me where you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I read that thing today in Scrabble.
No, but it is. That's my role, to mock you, to mock your idolatry, to mock your pillars. You get madder in hell at me. That's why it says, for many of you should not be teachers, because in many things you offend all.
Or in all things you offend all.
Like, you can offend all the people some of the
time. God has them in.
Is that really what it means? I mean, some people can't be preachers, teachers, because they piss everybody off? Is that what?
No, it means that you couldn't handle it. You'd turn into a man pleaser.
Oh, offending means snaring. That same.
No. Yeah. Just take it at face value. You can't take it because you're going to offend everybody, and they'll come back at you, and you'll change the doctrine in order not to get beat up.
You'll offend them by stepping on their identities and their all that kind of stuff.
Their idolatry.
Now, and you'll everybody will want to negotiate. Well, why? I've just as much right to you as you do to tell me what that scripture means.
Save the sheep.
Mm-hmm. Everybody wants subjective truth. You understand? Mm-hmm. Now, I just said all that to give you a preview of what we're going to see when we finish the scapegoat. Because the scapegoat reveals this with perfect clarity. And it's the last understanding, the last key in the puzzle to understand and apprehend fully the sin offering. Amen?
Amen.
Take it, big guy.